Welcome to Falcons Drip, your go-to source for Falcons news and draft coverage. I'm Thon Ray, founder and voice of Falcons Drip.
Welcome back to Falcons Drip Radio, everyone. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle. Today, I got some questions from you guys, and we're going to answer them here. We don't know what they are. I asked them on Instagram, and you guys respond in a big way. I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of your questions, but we're going to go in order. And whichever ones we don't get to, I will try and answer on the side. Any questions, Kyle, or anything that you feel like we should mention today? Any Falcons news?
Falcons have made a few moves recently going into this podcast. And some of the biggest ones are they signed the 29th XFL receiver, Chris Blair. He's the 29th player to make the NFL jump. He was part of an electric DC Defenders receiving corps where he was a quality deep ball threat. And he'll have a chance to compete for the Falcons' fifth receiver spot, which is how many receivers we expect the Falcons to take going into the season. And to make room for him, they put Avery Williams on IR, which is something that was to be expected after a torn ACL. So that damages the Falcons' depth at running back pretty substantially. Then they also cut wide receiver Justin Marshall, who was a guy that people were saying out of Buffalo had all the tools of 4.4740 and different things like that to make the possible roster, but he didn't end up cutting it, and the Falcons decided, let's cut ties, give him a chance to land elsewhere. And I'll also mention Chris Blair is going to wear number 17 for the Falcons. If y'all remember correctly, it was Alamide Zaccheaus' number last year. And then we got Austin Ant on, the North Texas quarterback, who was 29 years old. He was cut. He might have been 30 by the time that he was cut, but he was going to be 30 by the start of the season. So he was cut, so he will no longer be there, and that leaves the Falcons with three quarterbacks, Logan Woodside, Taylor Heinicke, and Desmond Ridder, which I expect Heinicke and Ridder to make the roster, and then have Logan Woodside on the practice squad. And then they signed three other players aside from Blair. Blair is in the competition for me with Penny Hart to make this roster as the five wide receiver now. With all he's shown at the XFL level as a deep ball threat, the former Alcorn State alum who will be like 26 by the time the season rolls around has put together some great film with the DC Defenders, and it'll be exciting to see if he can make the team. And then you got Albert Hudgens, the former Clemson defensive lineman who went undrafted in 2019. And then he caught on with a couple teams for a little bit, only recorded 19 tackles throughout his career. So he's a guy who's trying to make this roster. He's 6'3", 305, so he'd be trying to be that run-stuffing interior defensive lineman. And then you also got Carlos Davis, who is competing for that, who will be wearing number 74 and was a former seventh-round draft pick for the Steelers back in the Chase Claypool class. He was a good pick, so good pickups to try to bolster this D-line and try to compete for this back end. And then you also have kicker Matthew Trickett. I think I said that right. The Minnesota kicker. He was picked up and signed to a three-year deal, which I expect means he's going to be a practice squad player and basically be an emergency kicker in case an injury happens.
And with that said, let's jump right into it.
Okay. So you have the questions sent to you. So What's the first question?
Question one is from the Draft Planet, and these are that we mentioned here. These are all Instagram handles. What do you see the split of touches between Bijan, Tyler, and Patterson being?
Ooh, that's a good one. He's meaning like rushing attempts?
Yeah, I believe
okay,
so.
So,
I mean, just as
statistics to see how many times they ran last year, real quick.
Yeah, so he just said split. So I don't know, I'm pretty sure he means touches and carries, or I don't know if he means carries or if he means actual snaps. But if I were to guess,
I'm gonna go by carries.
So let's do that. And if I were to guess just percentage wise, I would say that between Algier and Bijan, it's going to be very close. And Patterson will be more, I mean, let's say Bijan and Patterson each receive about 40 to 45, and the rest remaining go to Patterson. I actually could see a world where Patterson's our goal line back because of how long he is and how explosive he is. He just seems to do well in the red zone, and he finds the end zone pretty easily. So I wouldn't be shocked to see something like that and just have, you know, CP just destroying fantasy teams.
I think CP is going to be more as a gadget guy this time around. So I think he might not. This might be like hot take-ish, but I wouldn't be surprised if CP is more of a return guy and maybe gets less carries as he's aging, maybe gets injured at some point in the season. So he maybe gets less than Caleb Huntley. My prediction is going to have him in front of him because that's the overall consensus. So, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. So I'm thinking Algier gets about 200. That'd be 10 less than last year. Bijan, I'll go 150. And Patterson, I'm going to go around 75. And then whoever else gets the rest.
And I think, too, one thing to remember with Bijan is, I know everyone's clamoring at your take, like, oh, we took him at 8 overall. He's going to see more than Algier. But Bijan's going to see a lot of snaps at wide receiver. He's going to see a lot of third down snaps. So even though he might only get 175 rushes, I expect there to be 75 passes on, like 75 catches on top of that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I just think this team is going to be very spread out in the run. I think a consensus, you should see less carries from Algier. You should see more carries from the number two back and maybe more carries from the three back. So maybe 200 for the first one, 150 for the next, 100 for the next guy, or 75. Overall, it's just going to be what happens with the players. Like it could differ a lot. And it's going to be different because you had like 80 runs from Marcus Mariota last year. So it'll be interesting to see if they have any designed runs for Ridder, which I think they will. But we're not sure how many. I'll give a prediction of maybe 30. Maybe you design a run from a player to a game. So let's go with 30.
Yeah, and one thing to consider too is I think it's hard to predict everything because we don't know what Huntley's timetable is going to be. If he comes back earlier than expected, I think that will come at the expense of mostly Patterson, but everyone else a little bit. And then we'll also see if he doesn't come back at all. I think that's better for Patterson as far as getting more touches.
Also, Avery Williams is down, so that's one to watch. He would have gotten maybe 40 carries, 50 carries.
We probably should have started with that as Avery Williams reportedly done for the year after tearing his ACL.
So that's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because it makes it easier for guys like Carlos Washington, considering Caleb Huntley is still down. And my overall take is they take four running backs. And at this time, with all the injuries, Carlos Washington Jr. is now the fourth running back on this roster if Huntley's not ready to start the season.
I also would not be shocked to see them pick up a veteran running back right before the season starts.
And they have plenty of cap to do it. They have $10 million, which they can probably spend about 6-7 million of that. So they could get a quality veteran running back for with that.
So with that, let's move on to the next question. The next question is from Falcons News Buzz. How long have you been running this account for? Why don't you start with yours and just give a quick number of years, and I'll talk about mine a little bit.
Mine has been for about a year. I started on May 27th, 2022. So it was more of just like, oh, I just finished senior year of high school and I was bored. I didn't really have anything I was doing at the time, so I decided, why not? I love all these Falcon sports, Georgia sports. So I'm gonna combine it and make this sports page that is all the sports I love, whether it be every sport you can imagine. So if y'all aren't following that, I would appreciate if you drop a follow. Quick little plug, Georgia sports content. And as well, your page has been going longer than mine. And if they're not following that, I don't know what they're doing. So go ahead and tell them about your page.
So basically 2020 happened, spent a lot of time isolated, a lot of time by myself. And truthfully, I don't have a lot of I don't have a lot of friends who are Falcons fans. So I decided, you know what, I'm just gonna start this Instagram page and see where it goes. And it's kind of led Instagram and to Twitter and to this podcast. So I would say probably the beginning of 2021, if I were to guess, is when I kind of started. So
That was
moving
a
on to
good question. I like how it differed from sports and kind of went into what the pages are and how you got started.
I like answering questions. I love answering Falcons questions, but I also love answering questions not Falcons related, just because it keeps it fun, keeps everybody on their toes. So moving on to the next question from D dot two smooth, yards and touchdowns for Ritter.
Yards and touchdowns for Ritter. That one's a tough one. We should probably give him interception numbers as well. So let's roll that in. I'll go 4,100 yards. Let's see. 32 touchdowns, and I'll go 10 interceptions.
I'm so torn. I feel like he does such a good job of not throwing interceptions. I'm gonna but 10 is low. Don't get me wrong, 10 is low. I feel like he's gonna have less than 10.
I thought
I'm gonna
about
say
going 8, but I
that's
decided
funny.
to
That's
go 10.
exactly what I was gonna say. I'm gonna say right around 4,000 yards. I like it's very similar to what you were going to say, because I was going to say right around 4,000, right around 35 touchdowns and 8 interceptions was kind of around what I was going to
Yeah,
guess.
I totally agree. I think there's a wide range of what it could be. It could be like 40 touchdowns, four picks, up to like down to like 20 touchdowns, 10 picks.
20
So
picks. 20, it could be 20 picks. We have
yeah,
no
it
clue.
definitely could. I don't think he's those are Jameis Winston numbers for picks, and I don't think he's at that level of turning over the ball, but I guess we haven't seen enough of a sample to really know if he's that much of a that much of a turnover machine. So I don't think he will be. But overall, I think he has a great season and goes out there and shocks people who have been outside of Falcons fandom, rating him super low among quarterbacks.
I would not be shocked either. I also wouldn't be shocked of those 4,000 yards, 2,000 of them are from Pitts in London.
I think they should be like
I'm actually here's a prediction. Here's a prediction, and when we do hot takes in another episode, I'm predicting that half of Ritter's pass yards are to those two players, 50%. Or more, I'm gonna say more than 50%. I'm gonna say over 50% goes to Pitts in London.
I love that prediction. I think that's a perfect prediction, 'cause unless you're thinking Ritter's gonna throw for like 5,000 yards, I think they should have half their passing yards go to Drake London and Kyle Pitts. If it goes for 5,000 yards, I think that's not the case because that means both of them probably had over 1,000 yards. I don't know if that happens. I don't know if there's enough touches to go around. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to the next one. This is from J Solid for FR1. Do you think we would sign a pass rusher or are we done making moves? I'll just jump into this one quick. I believe that we are mostly done with any big time signings. I think we have about 10 million in cap, and we'll probably save a chunk of that. We'll probably save a chunk of that in case of an injury. Like let's say somebody important goes down, Jake Matthews goes down, knock on wood, and we need to go out and sign another left tackle. We're going to want to have reserves in order to do that. Somebody along those lines. If truthfully, how deep our cornerback room is, and our cornerback room is deep, but it feels like if AJ Terrell goes down, we've lost a big part of our secondary. And I don't know if as good as our third and fourth cornerbacks are, I don't know if we have the ammo to kind of replace that type of guy. So I think we're mostly done. We'll probably see like little signings throughout the offseason. Unless something happens where we get an absolute steal of a free agent, I don't see that happening.
I think there could be one more veteran signing, one more vet for like 5 million, is possible. But right now it just seems like some smaller deals, maybe one more veteran deal, but who knows what position there could be a veteran player sign. But we do have the money to sign a veteran player, or we could just go into the season with 10 million in cap space and wait to use it maybe at the trade deadline or mid-season if there's a player available. So, as of right now, Falcons are just saving that cap until someone like crazy good comes around that they can't pass on with the cap they have left. But right now we have no clue who they could sign with that cap.
And I would say too, don't forget that, and I don't remember exactly how it works, but there is some carryover to the next year based on how much cap you have. But it's limited to something, and I can't remember exactly what it is. So it's not like a waste if we don't use all of our cap space. Falcons Resource asks, how old are you? I'm not going to go into the exacts of how old I am, but I remember when Michael Vick was drafted. If that means anything, I'm old enough to have gone through grad school and have a family. So I'll let you guys figure it out from there.
I'll answer. I'm a 19-year-old college student, currently at Kennesaw State. So go Owls. So if y'all see any good news for Owl Sports, y'all can DM me and say what up. I certainly love talking Owls. So if y'all ever want to talk about how good the Owls are doing, let me know. But other than that, I'm just a 19-year-old college student who's trying to find some things to do sports related as I go through a sports management degree.
From Saucy Miaz, Ms. Maze, MIAZ, horrible spelling. Record predictions. And we definitely talked about, we went over a whole episode of record predictions. So if you haven't listened to that, go scroll down and check it out. It's actually broken up into two episodes. I ultimately ended up going with 12-5 is what I was my prediction for this season.
And I went with 11-6. So we were pretty similar in what we think the Falcons will do this year. But if you want to get why we think the Falcons will win certain games, you can go back to that one and get a more detailed look.
Your underdog on the Falcons this year. And that's from ATL Falcons Talk.
Ooh, underdog. That's a tough one. By underdog, let's make the rules and stipulations. By underdog, is it like someone who is like a bench warmer, or how much could they have played?
I don't know. I think it's kind of whatever you see it as. Like, I feel like D. Alford was an underdog last year.
I think that's accurate. Let's go with someone who was a bench player, that you could see growing into a bigger role. Like,
and we did, I'm not going to use the same person, but we did talk about some of these on, and I keep plugging the past podcast episodes. But in our last episode, we went over our MVP offensive and defensive players of the year, favorite UDFA, and we did a lot of superlatives like that. So, and we did mention our favorite. Yeah, so definitely check that one out. But go ahead, Kyle. You let me know who you're kind of leaning towards.
I'm still thinking.
So I actually have one, and most people would think like, oh, like how can you call this person an underdog? I'm actually gonna say Tyler Allgeier, and it might seem like how could you say that he's a 1,000-yard rusher? But I just feel like so many people are counting him out after the draft of like drafting Bijan. And I've definitely mentioned this before, but like drafting Bijan Robinson helps Tyler Allgeier. Like it helps keep him fresh. It helps him stay healthy. It helps his longevity. So I'm not, you know, I think he's an underdog this year. I think a lot of people are writing him off. So I know that's like a high profile type guy, but that's kind of where I'm leaning.
Oh yeah. I'm going to go with something. This kind of like, based off last year, what he did, I'm going to go with Matt Landman. He was a guy who everyone, I mean, literally like 90% of Falcons fans were like, Dorian Etheridge should get that last linebacker spot. And then Falcons ended up making their surprising move and putting him on the roster. So I think he's kind of that underdog guy.
Nate Landman.
He's kind of like that Paul Warlow type of linebacker. That guy who's not super athletic, but super intelligent in what he does as a linebacker and knows how to play the game. He's got that great football IQ. So that's the way he could make the roster this year, just based off his football IQ and overall ability to play well on special teams.
You called him Matt Lim, and his name is Nate.
Nate Lim.
He's a Falcons drip follower, so wasn't gonna let you disrespect him like that.
Yeah, my bad.
You know somebody else too who's like a little less high profile. I just wanted to kind of mention that I kind of like as a underdog is Scotty Miller. I think that he was buried on a depth chart in Tampa Bay that he wasn't really utilized to the best of his abilities. Like he was just like the deep ball guy. And I think here in Atlanta, with the lack of wide receiver weapons that we have on this team currently, I think like he will, I think he'll thrive. Like, I think he'll be a great number three wide receiver. So I like him.
He's currently the number three receiver. He's had some amazing catches in his career, whether you look at Bowling Green or Tampa Bay. He had that one-handed catch that was absolutely crazy with the Buccaneers. I can't remember when it was, but it was an insane catch. But he's been relatively productive as that non-primary option who just gets catches and has reliable hands when you need them.
And he was wide receiver 4 or 5 for Tampa Bay, while Tampa Bay also had Gronk and they had Brate. They're giving it to Leonard Fournette a lot out of the backfield. So there are a lot of mouths to feed in this Atlanta offense that are not wide receivers, but him being able to be the number three wide receiver. And I also think too, I think he can line up as an outside guy. I know he doesn't do it that frequently and people mostly see him as a slot because of his size, but so yeah, him and Allgeier are probably my two underdogs. Our next question from the Flash Speed Force: how do you think our run game will do this year, better or worse?
I think better because I think our top two is better. Plus all the other running backs return. Aside from the injuries, the depth is better on this team. I mean, the depth going into the start of the season is might be a little worse, but the overall top tier running backs are better.
And I will say that it's not to contradict myself, but it's a little bit of both because I would not be shocked to see less overall yards, but more yards per carry. I think there'll be less run. I think like instead of being 55% run, I would not be shocked if we were closer to 50-50 or even lean more towards passing the ball because of the type of quarterback Ritter is versus Marcus Mariota. So I think it will be better overall, but you might see worse overall numbers from our running backs, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I 100% agree there. It's definitely going to be the Falcons probably passing it a bit more, so there might be less carries to go around. And if that's the case, that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
It just means they trust their pass game more, and they feel like they can run it a little bit less, and rely on that pass game a little bit more and take some of the stress off the running backs.
I mean, we were down three scores in multiple games, and we were just piss pounding the football because we didn't trust Mariota to throw it. Like, I don't think that will be the case, but I think we still run the ball a lot. I just think it'll be a lot more passing thrown in there and a lot more play action passing too.
I will say, even just running the ball, every single play was more exciting to watch than the year before with Matt Ryan, because you knew the offense was going to pass like crazy, and they weren't going to do anything. Their defense was going to be horrible,
Yeah.
and they weren't going to be able to dominate teams on the line. So it's nice to see the big guys up front dominating the opposing team's defensive
Yeah.
line.
Yeah, I truthfully love it. It's like old school football.
Smash mouth.
Yeah, love it. And you know, too, we're just really quick before we go on to the next question. It's always exciting to see the league changing, right? Like the league is going, spread offenses, all the guys are bigger, slower, and now with the spread offenses, teams are smaller and faster, and now Atlanta's using that against teams and making people pack it in and just moving the football.
Yeah, which worked well. So I'm super happy. And with that, let's get on to the next question. What you got?
And really, one quote, I can't remember who said this. Maybe it might have been Arthur Smith, but if you're trying to emulate someone else, you've already lost.
A
This
hundred
league is
percent.
a because so everyone else is already trying to do that, and they're trying to figure out how to beat it. So King Artis wants our win-loss prediction, which we gave. Why don't we do this? How deep will Atlanta make it in the playoffs next year? Because at 11-5 and 12-5 and 11-6, you got to assume that they're making it.
I'll say they win the division, and I'm not sure if I want to say they win the divisional round. That's a tough one, but I'll say they win the divisional round.
When you look at the NFC, I think it'll be depend a lot on matchups. I think the NFC right now is kind of weak. And the only two teams that I look at and I say, wow, that would be a really tough game for us to win. And, things change all the time, but just based off the teams last year, is San Francisco is obviously a really tough game, and the Eagles are a really tough game. But besides that, I think we absolutely could beat any of it. Almost, I mean, we could beat those teams, don't get me wrong. But those are the two where I'm not like, yeah, we should win this game, or yeah, we can win this game. If we were to play those teams right now, and we've added a lot of talent, so let's see what happens. But as of right now, if we were to play those two teams, I'd be like, oh, this is gonna be a tough game. So, oh, and of course, the next question is Fear Toxin 2005. Realistically, could the Falcons win the South and make it past the first round? And I'll say this too, my expectation is that the Falcons win the South. I don't care if the Saints added Derek Carr, I just don't. Like
I
it.
think they're the best team by a mile in this. I know that might be, I'm not sure if that's hot take anymore, but I think they're a mile ahead of any other team based off the other teams not having their quarterback set. And plus having a worse overall roster. Like you look at the Panthers, they might have, you could argue they have a better quarterback, but can you argue they have a better overall roster? No. The Saints have a worse to equal quarterback, but their roster is worse. And then you got the Tampa Bay Bucks. They just lost their quarterback. And I don't know if you've seen clips of Kyle Trask and who's the other quarterback they have.
Baker Mayfield.
They're both missing throws like crazy in practice. So if y'all's homework after listening to this podcast, obviously don't turn off the podcast now, but if you haven't seen them missing throws in practice and some of the highlights people have dug up, or I should say lowlights, I suggest you go watch Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask missing receivers by a mile in practice. It will give you so much more confidence in the Falcons winning this division.
And I would say too, like, in especially OTAs and mini camp and preseason, like, that's the time you want to be trying new things and maybe throwing interceptions and not letting the media kind of get to you. But these are like slants from the tight end that they're missing, like, and against air, it's bad, it's bad,
It's Anthony Richardson level accuracy.
bad.
As you know, I'm not a fan. If you've been listening to this podcast, I am not a fan of Anthony Richardson as he slings a ball at a receiver at 9,000 miles per hour on a slant. That's the type of stuff they're doing. And with that, you want to move on to the next question, or you have
Yeah, so
anything to add?
let's do no, that's it. Falcons are winning in the division. I'm putting it in now.
And I think there's a chance they get past the first round, depending on matchup.
I think they will get I think they will get past the first round. I think they could legitimately, depending on the they could, and I'm not, you know, this is how I am. I'm not counting, like last year I was counting them out of winning the Super Bowl. They could win the Super Bowl this year. Is it a small chance? Yeah, it's small. But depending on how the playoffs are set up and depending on how other teams do, we legitimately could make it to the NFC Championship if our second game isn't against the Eagles or the 49ers. So
100%. I think even this team on a good game, they could beat the Eagles. But it is one of the tougher matchups. So we'll just have to wait and see how this team performs, whether they perform better than expected, whether they disappoint a little bit.
And with the easier regular season games, like you could get confidence rolling into the postseason. That's when it matters. Let's do one more question, and then I'll answer the rest for everybody. Deuce wants to know how are Bijan and Algier splitting carries, and we kind of talked about that. I mean, I said 40-40-20 for Patterson. So I think it'll be a relatively very close split.
Yeah, let's do a different one. Whatever the next one is, since that one was similar to something we answered earlier.
Definitely. And this is a good one to end on from Trey Better. Favorite Falcons player of all time.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'll let you go first. I need a little time to think.
So there's so many players that, you know, there are a lot of players I didn't actually see or I don't remember seeing. When I was really young, I met Deion Sanders. I don't really remember it, but I've only heard amazing things about Deion Sanders. I think Brett Favre just seems like a really cool dude. I know he was in Atlanta for 1 year. Tim Green's doing amazing things off the field. But I gotta go. You know, Michael Vick was so exciting and fun to watch, but I gotta go with John Abraham. Like, it's just something that I've since he's left the team, we've had zero pass rush for so long that it's like in my brain. And it's so important. Pass rush, getting to the quarterback for the last 20 years has been the second most important position in football. The most important position is the quarterback. Then the second most is stopping the quarterback. And then the third most is protecting the quarterback, right? So it's quarterback, defensive end, left tackle. And for however many years, we haven't had a defensive end. So I'm going to go with John Abraham if that answers your question.
I like that pick. I'm going to go with I'll go with Julio Jones, one of the greatest receivers ever play. Obviously, he had great receiving cores with him. He had Roddy White for a while, Harry Douglas. And if y'all haven't don't know who Harry Douglas is, he was a great slot receiver and great number three when he was with them. So overall, one of my favorite receivers to watch, my favorite receiving cores. Whether you look at Harry Douglas, you could take any receiver in that receiving core and not go wrong with watching highlights of them.
So really quick, who is your favorite Falcon who didn't, like, wasn't a star? Just somebody who people won't remember that you're like, I really liked that player.
I think it might be Harry Douglas.
Harry Douglas.
That's one of the first players I remember watching as a kid growing up. I've always been a big fan of watching receivers just go off and moss people and the way they run their routes, the crisp route running and stuff like that. So that was one of the first guys and one of the guys who helped me find my love for football and find my love for the Falcons.
I'm going to say DeMario Williams, who a lot of people don't remember, but he was a linebacker. He's actually probably the first, or at least one of the first, undersized speedy linebackers. Atlanta drafted him out of Nebraska, and watching him fly around the field was so much fun. And then he ended up having a couple over 100 yard tackle seasons, went to the Chiefs and did pretty well for them a couple years. He was fun. And then, I could go on, like Jason Snelling, who was a fullback that was, got, because of injuries, got moved to running.
I love Jason Snelling. It's number 44.
Yeah, he was fun to watch. Anton Smith was like lightning in a bottle. Like, there's so many guys. Like, I love hearing other people.
Jacquizz Rodgers. I can't think about Falcons football without thinking about Jacquizz Rodgers and Michael Turner.
Yeah.
What an incredible backfield that was. Those two dudes were great backs. You had the flashy superstar running back in Michael Turner, and then you had the short Darren Sproles type running back with Jacquizz Rodgers. One running back who doesn't get enough credit for the Falcons. I could talk all day about some of these.
We should do a podcast of just underrated or under talked about Falcons players.
Or maybe we do a player draft of the most underrated Falcons. Where we draft teams and you're trying to find the most underrated players. So you can't pick any superstars. If they're like a top 10 player on their team, they're off limits.
All right, guys. With that, we'll let you go. We just answer your questions. It's another Q&A. And hopefully you guys join us next week for a little more Falcons Drip Radio.
Yeah, and rise up.
Again, this is Thon Ray. You guys can follow us at Falcons_Drip on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Please make sure you subscribe, follow, whatever you need to do to get the alert for our next episode. If you guys enjoyed today, please leave us a review. It always helps us grow. Until then, see you next time. Rise up.